You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 4th of March 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Well, I'm very pleased to say that we have with us revisionist historian Carolyn Yeager from CarolynYeager.net today. Good afternoon, Carolyn. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. Nice to talk to you, Sven.
It's always nice to talk to you as well, Carolyn. I do enjoy these conversations we have for the Wednesday podcast. And I've been wondering what's been catching your eye this week. I'm fairly sure it'll be something to do with Germany. But yeah, please tell us what's really been getting you this week.
Yeah, it is Germany. Even though we're having our Super Tuesday today in the U.S., and I should mention that, you know, big deal. And I'm going to go out to vote. After my conversation with you, because that's probably when it'll be least busy, but I don't have a busy polling place. But the main thing I'm interested in for today in our voting is, you know, who's going to come out ahead, Sanders or Biden. And that should be interesting. It's all gotten a little more interesting since some of these people have dropped out. In my opinion, Bloomberg is not going to make it. He's just not going to make it. He's such a disappointment. I didn't mean to be talking about this, but here I am. I'll just say this. I expected him to be much more impressive, even though he's a tiny little guy. He's really, really tiny, than he is. He's just completely no personality whatsoever. He's a blah. And, I don't think he has a chance, but, what's going on in Germany that I thought was of interest this week is that I was looking at Bild, the Bild Sunday newspaper, online paper, and that's their tabloid full of sex stories and so on. But they do they're very bold in their editorial. And in their news, and they'll say whatever they want to say. They're not like the more respectable papers that, you know, are careful to follow along what's acceptable, what isn't. So, I kind of like to look at that. And they had an editorial last Sunday that was, I thought very good. And so I copied it down. I'm going to read it and we can talk about it. And then there'll be a few more items that we can talk about. But, it starts out saying in December 2018, Chancellor Angela Merkel handed over the CDU party chair to Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer. Now, of course, the CDU is the Christian Democratic Union. That's Merkel's party. She's been in office. She's been heading that party and heading Germany for 12 years for being in the party, I guess. And she's retiring. But she's doing it slowly, so she'll finish out her term, which doesn't end for, like, she's still got two more years or so. Yet she gave up the party leadership because the party was doing terribly. You know, it was losing elections and going down. So she handed it over to this Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer, who has kind of been mentoring all along. And she is known as AKK. To make it simpler, so that's what we'll call her. Anyway, it goes on saying the life-threatening crisis of the CDU is primarily due to one person who has just now clearly shown that she still sees herself as the party chairperson, that is Chancellor Angela Merkel, who, by the way, is 65 years old. And from South Africa, or when she was visiting South Africa, she told her party, you know, long distance, to reverse the Thuringia election results. Thuringia is one of the states in the eastern part of Germany that used to be communist. Angela Merkel created a pseudo-successor to herself who was not supposed to shine brighter than her and who never had the power and influence to fix the damage that Chancellor Merkel has done within the CDU. Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer, who is 57, but looks a lot younger than Merkel, I'll tell you that, on the other hand, lacked the power instinct necessary for quickly bringing problem cases like the Thuringia provincial ruler Mike Moring, 48 years old, back under control. Under AKK, everybody could do what they want. I like to add to that what they mean by everybody could do what they want, that AKK doesn't have the personal authority. Nobody takes her as seriously as they took Angela Merkel, who somehow was able to get hold of the political power and enforce her will, pretty much. AKK is just like a lightweight who she started out telling everybody what they had to do in making these rules for the party, like that the number one was that they would never work with the AfD, the Alternative for Deutschland, which they call an extremist right-wing party. You know, they don't want that to get in at all. Nobody does. None of these parties, these establishment parties. So we've talked about that plenty on this show. So, but, you know, she laid down these rules and then nobody really, they kind of go away and just don't even remember them. You know, that she doesn't have it. And that's what they're saying. So now they say now the CDU is swinging suicidally between the Greens and the AfD because Merkel, as the party leader, slept through, ignored, and gave away the two big issues of migration and climate. Instead of shaping the future, the major party, CDU, is trying to keep up with the Greens and the AfD without winning back any of the votes it has lost. Meaning, wouldn't you say that they're not acting as a leadership party? They're trying to fight off the Greens and the AfD, which are leading in these issues of their own, the Greens in climate and the AfD in migration. And they're just trying, they're playing kind of defense, and it hasn't, so they've just kept losing. Did you want to comment on any of that so far?
Yeah, I was just thinking, well, that explains more why AKK stepped down, because, you know, I was a little bit confused as to why she stepped down and what it was to do with her. That, you know, why her head had to roll, basically, because the party had worked with the AfD in Thuringia. And that's clearly why, because she was the one that made these rules saying that the CDU was never going to work with the AfD. And clearly she's got no authority because people have just totally ignored them and worked with the AfD. Right. And what, and you know, they did actually roll that back, didn't they? Didn't they? Is that, that's what we were saying last week. They agreed that they were going to have another election. And overturned that the result that came about through the AfD working with the CDU. Is that correct?
Well, see, now I'm a little confused about that. They're going to do. I think it's going to be the party's going to do something. I don't know if it's going to be an election. This guy resigned, and so they have to do something. So maybe it is an election. You know, I don't know why. Somehow I got confused there, and I'm not clear. What's going to be happening, because there's two different things going on in the East right now. And I think I've gotten, I'm a little confused in my mind. So I can't answer that for sure, but, that's probably what's happening.
But they got him to resign anyway.
AKK is just, she's resigned because she saw that she was ineffective and couldn't do the job. And something came up where she, you know, I guess it was that Thuringia thing. And Merkel jumped in. She was down in South Africa, and she jumped in and said, you know, this has to be changed. This can't happen. We're going to have another election. We have to cancel this result. Very undemocratic. And there was AKK, you know, with being upstaged by Merkel, who had already turned it over to her. And so she just said, I'm resigning. And now the party has to pick somebody new. That's another election that's coming up within the CDU very shortly. I think it's in May, of who's going to be the new leader of the CDU. So they're all in a turmoil. You know, everything is in flux. And so I'll go on with this, finish this up here. In the big cities, just two more paragraphs. In the big cities, the Greens are about to become a major party. In Germany's east, it's the AfD. At the same time, the CDU is tumbling through the country without leadership. Chancellor Merkel is restricting herself to working on her own personal popularity. She is concerned with shaping her own image for the history books and leaves the party to fend for itself. She doesn't even show up in the election campaigns because she knows she is no longer wanted there. The AKK debacle has shown, with Angela Merkel in the chancellery, a new beginning for the CDU is not possible, even less so with candidates that are popular in the country but despised by Merkel. That means some of the people, like in the AD, in the AfD. As long as Merkel is governing, the CDU will not win over new voters. If this comes to pass, the political center would, following the near demise of the SPD, we know as Social Democrats, finally collapse. If the chancellor does not realize this, her legacy could be that she ruined her own party and that with the AfD and Greens, she created two new major parties. One will then look at the CDU as pitifully and nostalgically as one does today at the SPD. That's it.
Well, that's very likely to happen, isn't it? Because she doesn't seem to pay attention to what the population are thinking. She always seems to think that she knows better. And they clearly didn't warm to AKK. They're not going to warm to somebody else that she puts in there. But if she's refusing to hand over to anybody else but somebody that she picks, then, yeah, she could be the demise of the party. She deserves to be the demise of the party with what she's done to Germany. And she's still not standing up for Germany now. I bet she says that all these refugees that are trying to break into Greece at the moment, well, they're not refugees, really, they're proxy warriors. I bet she says, oh, they can come into Germany. She's already making excuses for Erdogan.
I don't think she'd say that because she know that's just, that wouldn't go over at all. At all. Back then in 2015, it did. People didn't know, but now, at this point, they're not going along with that, but they won't make any strong laws. You know, they got this idea, these liberal ideas that, you know, there's all these people all over the world have all these rights and Europe is a loving, kind nation. They, you know, they're not terrible Nazis and they're going to, you know, they have to help all these people. So they're in a conundrum. They really can't be effective. We have to let the AfD continue to grow. That's the best there is, because if there's any hint, look at how they accuse the AfD, which is continually being anti-Nazi, how they accuse them of being a Nazi, you know, and they get away with it because all the newspapers and all the media just put that stuff out. And it's terrible how little people can think for themselves and how they're just overall influenced by what they see around all the time. You know, they don't really think it through. They don't stop and think about it and work on it in their mind. They just, if they're seeing this kind of idea all the time, it just becomes a kind of a default attitude or belief.
This is a problem, isn't it, with the German press? Mm-hmm. I think it's the worst in the world. From listening to E. Michael Jones, who's saying after the war, all the German press was basically owned by these Jewish organizations from America, social engineering organizations, and you didn't have a free press, and you still don't have a free press. They still have to get licenses, basically, or the equivalent of licenses to actually print over there. So all the information that comes out is biased, and it's geared towards social engineering, and they pumped loads of pornography in there. in the 70s to break down the morals of the Germans. And now that the morals have been broken down, they attack them with all this guilt for World War II. And now they're using it to attack the AfD. And there really isn't, anyone that's actually providing any truthful news over there. It has to be the worst in the Western world, I would have thought.
Well, it's terrible. I look at DW because it's all in English, and they do cover everything. I just don't like any way they do it. But I can't look at Der Spiegel anymore. I look at the German version. I used to, and then put it in the translator, something I wanted to read. And they don't allow me in there anymore. I don't know. I have to sign up for a bunch of stuff, which I never want to sign up for things. So. And then there's these others like the English version of, but it's just exactly the same as DW. So they're really, you know, there's not much choice there. There is a right wing media in Germany, but it's not that easily available, and I'm not really tuned into it.
Can't just point out. So, I mean, we say we have bad media here in Britain, and we have bad media in America. But I mean, at least here in Britain, we have the Daily Express and the Daily Mail, and it does show the immigrant crime. And they did support the Brexit Party, and they support Nigel Farage, but there's no presentation of immigrants as you know, when they commit crimes, as being bad people over there in Germany. And there's no support at all for the AfD.
So you consider the Daily Express to be a fair-minded?
No. But I'm not saying it's fair-minded. I'm saying it's more likely to show you the crimes that the immigrants commit. But then when you get any resistance against it, like if you'd have a nationalist party, the Daily Express and the Daily Mail would call them Nazis. I mean, they've attacked me. But they will show this invasion of the Turks that are invading Greece at the moment, and they're showing the pictures of the flames and the tear gas being thrown, and they will show black on white crime. And as I say, they supported the Brexit Party and Nigel Farage. The official opposition, they will support, like if it's UKIP or Brexit. Whereas in Germany, the official opposition, which is the AfD, none of the press is supporting them, and they're the third biggest party in the country. That's the point I was making. It's even worse than in Britain and America.
Than in Britain, right. Right. Well, I've been looking at the Daily Mail. The way that they're so good at these people like papers like the Daily Mail and Bill too, I suppose, but Daily Mail is easier because it's in English. So I've been looking at that, and I noticed that they'll say a lot of things, but overall they support the global order, and they don't go too far off from that, but it's better than the Guardian, which is just the Guardian is horrendous. So now that brings us to I just want to mention before I go on with the media, we want to continue with the media, but that the they made a big deal on DW that Bjorn Höcke, who they want to portray as Mr. Hitler Nazi, you know, was nominated by the AfD in Thuringia, where he has been the party leader and running as the top of their ticket for years. They made a big deal that he's going to be at the top of the ticket for state premier, which is coming up pretty soon. That election is coming up pretty soon. And like it's some big news or something, you know, just so that they can write a bunch of negative stuff about him and go on into the Holocaust and the fire and the Nazis and blah, blah, blah. It's just they, you know, like to go on and on about. So, you know, they'll be running him down again. I feel this guy, he's really been singled out, and he's only said a few things, you know, that Germany should be, like you're talking about, that Germany should be able to have a little more freedom of speech and so on. But, they make that out to be that he wants to bring back the Third Reich. So anyway, now today, going through DW, there were just two stories that hit me because on their top stories page, they're right. One's on top. One comes right before the other in the in the short version of them. And the first one says, Germany assumes chair of anti-Semitism alliance. You know, big story. This is a nothing. What they, we call a nothing burger. This is a nothing. It's this IHRA anti-Semitism definition alliance that that was started just not that long ago by this Jew, by some Jews, and they're trying to pass it off as a big international thing that all the countries in the world, in all the major countries, are all involved in and really care about. They've somehow strong-armed all the countries to sign this thing. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And one by one, it wasn't that long ago I wrote about this thing and on my webpage, and there was it was just beginning, you know, and they didn't have anybody signed up, but then maybe Israel and in a couple of places. They wanted, you know, to get more countries to sign. And anybody, you don't have to be a country, you'd be an organization or something. And one by one, they got them to sign this thing because they present it to them as this, well, this is just, it's just, it's not anything legally binding. It's just you're saying you support, you know, you'd support it overall or whatever. And so now they got all these countries signed up. And then they speak out in the name of all these countries. When these countries really don't do anything, don't play any role in it, these Jews do it all. And this is how they get away with this stuff. And the media, it's the media that more than these governments that goes along and plays this up for them, you know, Jewish media. What can you say? And so now they get the news here that Germany is going to chair for this coming year, whatever that's supposed to mean. They're going to, Germany is assuming the IHRA chair from Luxembourg, who's had it before. So they're passing it around. And who's in charge of this? Somebody named Michaela Kuchler from the German Foreign Office Special Commissioner for Relations with Organizations. You know, I mean, she's nobody. But, you know, they all have to have now in their State Departments, what we would call in the U.S., or their Foreign Office, something to do with, you know, anti-Semitism commissioners and commissioners for Jewish to help Jews this with this and that and the other thing. So these people, you know, go along with this, and then it's billed as, you know, Germany or Luxembourg or the UK or something. You know, I mean, like it's the government is supporting all this, and they really don't have anything to do with it. But when it comes to Jews, you can't. If you say no, well, they're going to attack you unmercifully. They can even harm government, you know, big governments. They can even harm the United States government. They can harm Donald Trump if he doesn't go along with these kind of meaningless things, but which they use to promote themselves in the media all the time.
That's the,
go ahead.
I'll just say that's the International Holocaust Remembrance Association. I think that's right. what those letters were standing for, because there was a big fuss about that over here in Britain because Jeremy Corbyn wouldn't sign up to this new definition of anti-Semitism. And in the end, they forced him to sign up to it. And at the time, they were saying, all these other countries in the world signed up for it, and we're speaking for all these other countries. And that's what they've done. They managed to get everybody to sign up to this, which basically says that if you say that the Jews killed Christ, you're an anti-Semite. If you say that Israel is an apartheid state, you're an anti-Semite. If you say that Israel behaves like the Nazis, you're an anti-Semite. And it was basically to prevent people from criticizing the actions of the Israeli state, mainly, more than anything else. And so now they're promoting it as we've got the seal of approval from Germany now. Germany is chairing this. But all of it, all the ideas and everything comes from this Jewish committee, basically. And they pretend that it's come from all these other countries that have investigated it and worked out what the best definition should be. They call it the working definition, don't they? The working definition. Yes. As if
and
it
then
hasn't
they have the word
before.
Holocaust in their name. And it's about anti-Semitism, but they bring in the Holocaust and then they go around, you know, pushing a Holocaust belief and Holocaust remembrance. What's that got to do with the anti-Semitism? But see, that's how they, the overall thinking that they have for years now is that we got to link anti-Semitism and the Holocaust together, because anti-Semitism led to the Holocaust and will lead to more Holocausts, and so we can't allow it. That's their whole working philosophy and strategy.
Now, also, and, I think when people are to stop people from looking into the Holocaust as well, because, you know, revisionists, so they may support National Socialism, they may not. They may just have an interest in history and truth in history. But because of the link with anti-Semitism, they will call them anti-Semites just for saying, look, I'm interested in what happened during the Holocaust. If you just ask questions about it, you'll be accused of being anti-Semitic. When really, you know, a lot of these people are just interested in the truth, the truth in history. They want to get to the facts.
Well, of course, they have the truth. I mean, that's it. You can't doubt that what you've been given is the truth. You can't doubt it. And that's anti-Semitic. It's hurting Jews. It's hurting all those poor people that died, were murdered and tortured and so on and the survivors. So, you know, that they play this game and awful lot of people don't fall for it. But there's so many who don't want to think about it, who don't pay that much attention. And they're those ones who, as I said before, they just have that default attitude because it's in the background all the time, you know, and so they just think it must be true or they believe it if they're asked about it. And then they have these laws. It's so obvious. I don't know why people continue to go along with it. So let's hope that things are getting shook up a little bit in Germany, and if the poor AfD, which just does stand for truth in history, they do want to allow questions and free speech and so on. That's the good thing. They can take hold more strongly when Merkel is departing. Let's hope. So the next story right after that, the another thing they've been pushing in the media. This type of media is German Bundeswehr, their military force, is full of right-wing extremists. And they're investigating and they find all these, it's always far right, but they're here it says there are hundreds. I don't know how many are in the Bundeswehr, but they say there's hundreds of Bundeswehr soldiers suspected of harboring right-wing extremist leanings. And so they play this up big. That, you know, that what the Jews are doing is not threatening to us, but what these right-wing extremists are doing are very threatening to Germany. This is going on all the time. And they give it headlines when it's not anything, it's not a big story. It's not at all because, and here the poor German soldiers, you know, they want them all to be left-wing wimps, I guess, you know, they don't want them to be any good, but they want to put them out there and say, well, we need to get more, you know, we need to use our military more and help out more with European defense and so on and offense. And so Germany's got to put their military out there. As you said, you know, Germany is put in the worst position whatsoever, and it's driving Germans insane. And they hate themselves. They hate life. They don't want to be a part of anything. You can't be pro-German if you're German, and you can't, you know, what can you do? So they don't even get married. They don't have children. They're having mental problems and so on. It's painful.
Well, this is a thing, isn't it? I mean, it reminds me in Britain, the British Army had they put out a leaflet a while back, and it was the signs of extremism. And one of the signs was being a patriot, just being a patriot or calling yourself a patriot, saying you loved your country. Right. You know, that's the whole reason why people join the army is because they love their country. And I dare say that a lot of the people that they're accusing of being extremists in the German army there are just people that love their country. You know, that's what's so sad about it. The people that most love their country and most love their people are now classed or called extremists if they happen to be white. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Carolyn. That was great. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.